for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday evening service of March the 29th, 2002, Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother Carl Fox is the minister.
Cylinder Dodge, you know, chugga-chugga. But anyway, he insisted, and because you know what? He was being moved by the Spirit of God. And it wasn't that he was disobedient and he didn't listen to counsel and things like that. When the Spirit of God, he stood on what he knew God said. Well, I'll tell you what, there was more security around this guy than I ever seen around a head of state. They came and he says, in my car is Carl Fox, and he needs to meet the king. I can't remember his name. And bang, the doors are open, and they're coming to me, you know. And the man said to me, and he really is the king of the gypsies, because I have a National Geographic at home with a picture of him, and that's what it says in there. And he had the same necktie on then as when I was there that day, and the picture was him and I was together. Same necktie. And here he's the king of the gypsies. But and the gypsies is one of the biggest people in the world that has no land. They're on every continent except Antarctica and Arctic, if they're continents. But anyway, and he, big tears rolling. He has this big, solid gold medallion on him, and he has his gold scepter. And he hugs me. And, of course, he smells like garlic and onions like everybody does over there. And so I do, too. The first thing I do is I start eating onions. That's the national breath mint. And, you know, if you're eating them onions, and onions are good for you, if you're eating them onions, you don't notice the other people, right? And they throw a little garlic in there, and that's really good for you. But it's a blessing that way, see? But anyway, he said to me, he said, thank you that you have loved my people. He said, even I am a Christian. Isn't that awesome? And I still didn't really believe he was a king, okay? But I thought, you know, I humored him. And you know, I gave him the honor was due him and thanked him and prayed for him. And then I said, I apologize. I really need to leave. He says, I'm a pastor. I have become a pastor. You've got to come to my church. That's one of the things we need to try to get this time over there is get up to his church. But I said, I'll do the best I can to get back. But anyway, you know, I was flying home. It's a long trip because you're bone tired if you put in 20-hour days. Except for Glenn, he can do it. And he just gets up and goes. I want that anointing. But anyway, the man, you know, and I'm on my way back. And I talk to God about a lot of things, you know, because I'm too tired to talk anymore. So I ask questions to listen. And I just talked to him about the trip. And he says, Carl, I've told you many times that you would minister to kings, and you didn't believe it. That man was a king, you know. But see, if you obey, you have no idea where he's going to take you. I give all the glory to God. You know, if God can take someone like me and do things that he permits me to do, the rest of you can do so much more. The only thing that's stopping you is the curse of unbelief. You know, God will tell you to go do something that you shouldn't do. I was in a gypsy church, and this lady had a terrible time getting up there. I prayed for her. I knew she was healed. She didn't know it. I grabbed her by the hand, and I started running, you know. Everybody was just aghast. We got down to the end of the church and turned around coming back. All of a sudden, she realized she was healed, and she started jumping up and down. But if I hadn't have done that, she wouldn't have done it. And if I'd have thought about it, I wouldn't have done it. But the Spirit of God said, do it. And if you'll just obey, and what if I was wrong, God would have had to heal her because otherwise she'd be hurt, see? Right? You know? Seriously, folks. You can never see signs, miracles, and wonders unless you take chances. And you'll never see them unless you get out of that cursed comfort zone. Amen? But there's some curses that we've talked about today, but I'm going to Deuteronomy 27. These are the kind of curses. The only way you can get rid of a curse, folks, is you got to die. Okay? That's the only way out of it. So what they would do when somebody done incest or adultery or idolatry, they took them out and they stoned them, not with heroin, but big old rocks. Right? It was brutal. They'd throw them in this pit and there's flies and maggots from the last person. I mean, it was brutal. Sin is brutal, folks. The consequence of sin is brutal. The wages, the paycheck is death. And it isn't just now I lay me down to die. Not many people die easy. Right? You're a doctor. Am I right? Christians do. Because they're not under the wages of sin, are they? Yeah. It's a whole different story. But see, we're talking about people getting cursed or people getting blessed. And it's up to us to make those decisions. It's up to us. But that's what had to be until Jesus died at Calvary. That's why he had to be hung on the tree. Curses everyone that hangs on the tree. The perfect man had to die the imperfect death. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just utterly amazing that God would love you so much to call you to do something like this. And that Jesus loved his Father so much that he perfectly obeyed. Jesus never done his own thing. He always done the will of his Father. Jesus is the most blessed. But there are things that bring curses that were on to death. Because if you had a child and you were cursed and you had a child, guess what you have? A cursed child. And then that child had a child. It was a cursed child. And I know we got these scriptures about third and fourth generation, but I'm going to show you where there's curses on ending, okay? And even the third and fourth generation, somebody before that fourth generation's over is going to self-impose and start the third and fourth generation over again. All right? I mean, the devil wants, and generational curses is not the only curse. We're going to get into other ones. But that's the one that seems to be the big topic, and it should be. Because if Satan, like I said last night, he brings this couple together, and by the one flesh, now they both have sharing in each other's curses. They have children, their children have children, and these curses continue to go on. That's why people do Satan's evil. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And he just kind of sits back. If we would get serious about getting the curses out of our lives and out of the other people's lives and get serious about obeying, we can work that sucker near to death. He'll be so glad to get thrown in the pit. He needs a vacation. Seriously, if the church hadn't lost this about the time of Constantine, okay, had we held on to the situation about curses and continue to deal with them, just like binding devils to judgment where they can't continue, this world would be a different place. But see, if some of you are going to believe this and do something with it, and you do already believe it, but I'm talking about getting serious about it, more serious, hopefully, you know? I mean, that's get on the offense. Too many Christians are so busy defending themselves. God made us to be offensive, to be on the offense. Carry the ball. I used to play football. I loved offense. You know why? I got to be the quarterback. Got to score. Oh, yeah. If we didn't, we were defending all the time. Right? Man, I've got news for you. We want to pay attention to our problems. The Lord told me years ago, He says, Carl, if you'll pay more attention to the promise than the problem, you won't have a problem. And you know, when I do that, it's true. And when I slip into feeling the pain or something like that, then I don't get to experience the greatness of that blessing, see? And I thank God for 1 John 1:9, you know, because I can clean it up again and I got a fresh start. We have the ability to have that fresh start, see? We get cursed. We get possessed. Bang, bang, I just shoot a couple sacred cows. We do, okay? It happens. But we could go and we could ask the Father to forgive. Or go to men of God and say, minister to us. The choir of the Lord. Especially if you keep falling in the same trap. Man, get to somebody that's got the power of God, that believes the Word of God. But verse 15 says, cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman. Oh, but that's art. Right. It puts it in secret places, and all the people shall answer and say amen. First of all, do you know what amen means? I did a real serious study about amen. I found out it means let's eat. Let's eat. Everybody sitting around the table, they thank God for the food, they bless it, they say amen, and everybody's, one guy's got the mashed potatoes, somebody else has got the pork chops or whatever, right? And that means so be it, right? We thank him for the food and we start eating it. Okay? I'm a simple guy. I have to understand things simple. But what is a false god? It could be your job. You ministers, it could be your ministry. You singers, it could be your singing. That's something I always watch for when I go into churches to minister. I watch what goes up here with the praise people. And I want to tell you, some of you are here. But I want to tell you because the buck stops here, right? Here on earth. But you know what? They praise God. I haven't caught them one time here worshiping their praise and praising their worship. Have you? You've been here more than me. I've never seen it in the couple days I've been here. See, that brings blessings. But see, when people get up here and they start entertaining, it's gone, isn't it? Yeah. You can feel the chill as it moves. Yeah. Some of you may be going to college. It could be getting your education. Or maybe you're making good money on the job and God wants you out of there. And you're not going to leave because after all, you only got 6 more months and you'll have a pension. God is your sufficiency. And if you don't believe it and if you don't rely on that, you're open to curses, okay? And like Sister said earlier tonight, she didn't write this book. She's just reading it. You know, God wrote it. It's his book. But see, it could be idols. It could be property. This property could become an idol. That blessed well out there could become an idol. See? But it isn't. But it could become. See, because any time you have blessings, there's always a temptation to cherish them more than the Father and the Lord Jesus. You know, when we feel good, we aren't thankful for our health so many times. That's why we get sick. Amazes me. But verse 16, it says, cursed be he that sets light by his father and mother. Better do 15 first. Well, we'll do 16, go backwards. Father is mother, and all the people shall say amen. You know, the Bible, I know I'm reading Old Testament, but you know, Ephesians 6 says, honor your father and mother, right? The cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image. Okay, I'm all right, I'm on track. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. And I'm sorry if I'm going to step on somebody's political toes, but you know what we're doing in Israel right now? We're moving landmarks. It's not a blessed thing. We need to continue to fervently pray for our president because he's fallen into that trap. Okay? But see, when they got in the promised land, you were given a piece of land and you put a pile of stones on each corner. But that man was gone for a while, you could kind of move the stones over a little bit. Who would know? Huh? The big guy always knows. Right? Always. But see, and you know what? You do something like that and you lose everything because you're cursed. You got caught. They didn't mess around with it. There was no big appeals. They took them out and stoned them. You know what they did with children that were so disobedient, they were out of control? They took them out and stoned them. Now they put the parents in jail for spanking their kids. I mean, you know, we have got to grab a hold. We can change this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have the power to make a difference. We're not going to change the will of God, but we can certainly change the curses that's up on this nation. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. I'll tell you what, that could also be cheating. The boss isn't there. Yeah, tell somebody else, punch me out at 4:30. I'm going to go home. Oh, well, I worked an extra hour today, boss. The harder we work at being righteous, the easier our life becomes because we have the benefits. And then we're not dealing with the grief. And we don't have to be religious about it. Search my heart, O God, right? If you're not sure what to do, talk to somebody that knows. Always talk to him. He always knows. But if you're not sure what the right thing to do is, you talk to somebody that can take you to the Word on it. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of their way, and all the people shall say amen. That's taking advantage of disadvantaged people. Young people, they look down their nose at somebody because they're weird. They make fun of the retarded. When I was in school in the 50s, we had these jokes going around. I was guilty of it too, and I had to repent. I didn't then because I didn't give a rip. But God brought it to my remembrance when I started studying this. Hair lip jokes. And you know what? There was a kid in my class. I went to a school so small that my graduating class was 21 kids. And it was not a blessing. Three of them died in Vietnam. Isn't that amazing? But we had a kid by the name of Tommy. Tommy had a hair lip. And we would tell these hair lip jokes all the time. We didn't tell directly at him. But how, you know, words hurt. See? And doing those kind of things. You know, God doesn't let me teach this because I've got it all together. Some of the examples of wrong, I'm probably guilty of all of them. But that's not be guilty of that. You know, the Bible says someone's hungry, call the welfare department, right? No? Feed them, right? They're cold, clothe them. You know what? I'll get that later. Verse 19, it says, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and all the people shall say what? Amen. You know, I pray for Hot Springs, Arkansas, because it's, don't get mad at me, but Hot Springs, Arkansas is a boyhood home of Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton did everything he could to shame the justice system, and still is. Father, I pray right now that before he dies, that he finds you. And Father, you're not lost, he is. But Father, I ask for special blessings on this city in the name of Jesus Christ because of this. And Father, I believe that as we stand together, that we have that authority. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, that let the truth prevail in the name of Jesus Christ over this city. Let this really, truly, that there be one last great revival in this city in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we cry out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that this city be blessed with a great revival. Father, we know that revivals are not peaches and cream. We know that there's violence that happens in revivals. We know, Father, that there's lawsuits and all that the devil can throw. But Father, I speak a cover over your people that will stand and bring this revival, that they can be covered with your wing, as we learned today. Help them to stay under the cover of that wing in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the Word of God prevail with all power and might, with all love, in the name of Jesus Christ. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife because he uncovers his father's skirt, and all the people should say amen. Whew. That's incest, folks. Incest is a secret sin. Uncle Charlie messed around and he disappears. And those little Matilda is all, her life is all messed up, and she gets spanked and says, you don't tell anybody about that. And they cover it instead of dealing with them. And you know it brings curses. And don't you get mad at me. You could be the exception to the rule, but I have not laid hands on anybody and prayed and been asked God to show me anything generational unless it's already been taken care of, that there hasn't been incest.
Right.
I'm sorry, folks. It's, you know why? Because he uses three verses here to cover incest. bestiality is only going to use one. So if you have not been incested, the generation before you, and it goes 10. You covered that this morning. And it goes, and so it's been there, okay? Say that out loud, please. I know what mine were doing. I had Druids was my ancestors, okay? That was some stuff I had to get out of my bloodline. I mean, I was a violent, wild man. When God got a hold of me, he had a wild man. Still am. I try to keep it on the road. Pray for me. But incest is a very, very vile, violent, terrible. Sister, you shared about it tonight. It's despicable. And it causes terrible things. You know why America has so much mental illness today? Stress and all these mind problems? Incest. Just about every case the Lord has showed me when we're dealing with it, it's incest. Repenting of the sin of incest and breaking the curses from that incest and calling in the blessings of a loving God changes it. We have seen crazy people. I was taken up in Maine. I was on my way to the first time I was up there. A lot of things happened that time. But I was being taken from L.A. They have an L.A. too there. It's Lewiston, Auburn. But everybody, you know, it's L.A. And I ministered there, and they were taking me to the to Portland. And but they pulled in to this asylum, sane asylum. I said, just a minute, guys. I'm not there yet. You know, they said, no. We have it set up. This lady is under such violence that she's under surveillance 24 hours a day, and we worked hard. Please don't say you won't go in, but we have authorization for you to go in and minister to her. And they said, just do what they say. So I said, okay. But that's hurried up because, you know, the people are going to be at the university, and I need some time. I need some quiet time before we get to it. But anyway, we go in, and it's amazing because you go in that asylum, and it was for criminally insane. You go through that part, too, and you want to see some devils, you know. I think it's worse than a prison, but if there is such a thing. But anyway, we got to where she was, and she was surrounded by glass. She had no privacy, but it was this unbreakable kind of glass. She was so drugged up that she didn't know that I was there. But you talk about the spirit of man. So I spoke to the spirit of man in her in the name of Jesus Christ, and I called her out by name. I took the curses off that God showed me. I put blessings in. I had the authority in the name of Jesus. I had the authority. Her fiance said the Lord told me if he could get you in there, she'd be made whole. We got done. We see no change. I said, let's go. I didn't have anything else to do. And no use hanging around. So we left. And I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything for probably 20 minutes. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, on a good day, I think thoughts. But I said, I want to tell you this. By Jesus' stripes, she was healed. That's the truth. And anything short of that's a lie. And faith does not pay attention to what your eyes see. Faith is the Word of God being reality. And I said, if you love her, do it. He said, I love her. I said, do it. He said, I will. 3 months later, they got married. And I was in Romania, couldn't go to the wedding. That's one I would have found time to go to. But you know what? You know what? That girl had been incestually raped about 5 times by 5 people. And it was like looking back in the generations was so bad. There were so many maggots and worms and snakes that there's no use looking at it. And that's where she was. It's amazing when you take, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I think you got that figured out by now. But if you would just take and go do the Word of God.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
The Word of God will work. If you will just use the name of Jesus, it will bring the promises of God to pass. And you don't have to go to school to do these things, okay? Fact is, I don't know a school that will teach you, right? Huh?
It wouldn't.
No. You know why? Because you can't learn this with the intellect. We have two teachers, folks. The Spirit and the Word. And the way the Lord showed me that, I'll never forget it. I grew up in northern Minnesota, and in the spring we had mud vacation. When the frost went out of the roads, you'd sink. And we had a big dairy farm. We milked the cows and dumped the milk because you couldn't get out to the road. It was 2 miles to the highway. But also, it had deep ditches on each side of the road because the moisture, because that's the lake country. But anyway, so I know about ditches. I've been in them. But on the road of walking with the Father, he showed me that one ditch, and it wasn't like a bad ditch, okay? You know, it was really a good ditch for whether you go in and not get stuck. But one, on one side of that road was the Word, and the other side was the Spirit. And the Father told me, he says, Carl, if you will listen to both, if you obey both, you'll stay on that road that I've called you to walk on. Amen? And I believe that will work for any of us. All right? But that's what we have to teach us. And that's how we learn to do these things, is from the Spirit and the Word. But anyway, verse 21 talks about the bestiality. One verse, as bad as it is, one verse covers it. Then verse 22 gets back into incest again. It says, cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. And three verses, and yet he only used one. I mean, that's not a coincidence that he only used one for bestiality. I mean, it's a serious, and not that bestiality isn't serious. But when you're ministering and you have somebody that's having mental problems and things, remember this, okay? Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. You know, people taking advantage of people, you know, just secretly getting advantage. I mean, I could get into that. It means a lot of things, but, you know, I know what the Bible says, and that it says to what? To your neighbor? Love your neighbor. I'm getting kind of long, but can I get a little bit further before I stop? Okay. God to help you do what you're saying, because we could be cursing ourselves. All right? I'm not saying don't quit singing those songs. Let's ask for the Father to give us the strength to be able to do, to be faithful, to serve Him. And thank God we do have 1 John 1:9 when we slip and we don't do it. And we have that, all right? But I'm going to hit another one that, because I see it here, and I see it by everywhere I go, and that's the curse of poverty. And go to Haggai. I'm going to read to you the definition of the curse of poverty. It's not something somebody dreamed up. Haggai chapter 1. In verse 6, it says, you've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you have not filled. Haggai is on page 1176. Those who have trouble finding that. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you have not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Wake up, America. Isn't that amazing? And then I see people curse themselves. I haven't seen them for a while, but there used to be a bumper sticker that people put in their cars. It says, I owe, it's off to work I go. How pathetic. But what causes this curse? Not taking care of the house of God. Well, what is the house of God? Huh? The people, right? God's people. Read Haggai. All right, it's one of your reading assignments. Read Haggai. All right? Haggai, just chapter 1. Really covers it. But then we'll go to Malachi. And I have people say, yeah, brother, but that's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you folks. I suspect that Malachi, they call him a minor prophet. Can you imagine that? The things in Malachi speak volumes to the church today. You know that had the church tithed, that's what I'm getting into, okay? I'm getting in tithes, okay? And guess what? I'm going to do it anyway, right? You know why? Because all tithe means is one-tenth, dime out of the buck, right? That's what the word tithe means. But there's more to that. That's the amount. Now, why would God set an amount? Because man has the ability to get real selfish. So it's a minimum standard. All right? But it amazes me because the curse of poverty, our nation, we're being taxed to extinction. And all these giveaway programs that we're doing, sending billions of dollars to nations and everything, where's that money going to come from? Huh? Yeah. Guess what? They are really starting to figure out ways to tax churches now. That was one of the few saving graces that our nation has on it, is to give that church a benefit. And you watch the next 2 years. And you know what? They can have the money if they want. You know, my God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not going to compromise. I am not going to compromise and become a corporate minister. All right? And I love America. I love what America can become again. All right? But I'm telling you that had the church tithed, it continued to tithe, we wouldn't be taxed. We could get some rain in season. That's a blessing. Trying to plant or harvest, that's not a blessing. I have a farm boy, I know. And if it isn't a blessing, then it's a not blessing, right? What's a not blessing? A curse. But, you know, the bottom line is that had the church continued to tithe, we wouldn't be taxed like we're taxed. Isn't that amazing? And one of the curses in Jeremiah is trusting in a man for it be your sufficiency. Most of the Christians today are dependent on the government for handouts. How sad. How very sad. But how just. Because when we don't obey God, we get cursed. It's a curse. These taxes are not a blessing. I'm not going to lead a tax revolt. But, you know, Jesus said, the works that I do, you should do also, and greater shall you do because they go to my Father. Jesus said that, okay? And it's the truth. So if we get that, I do believe that because Jesus done it, that we can go find a fish with gold coin in its mouth, pay a tax if we have to. Meaning, some way God has got the way, all right? Some way God has got the way for us to do what it takes so we can continue and live peaceably. But it's a mess that the church got into. Well, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? So if we obey God, we're not leaving or forsaking Him, right? This is a commandment of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 6, doesn't He say, I am the Lord and I change not? Do we have to find that in the Bible or do you know that? We know that, right? Isn't it unique? Just by accident He slipped this in. No. He put this just before He's going to get into the issue of the tithe, even if it is Old Testament. Because He says, I am the Lord and I change not, in verse 6, chapter 3. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, when I thank God that one of the things He changes not on is He's merciful. If God wasn't merciful, I wouldn't be alive. Most of us probably wouldn't be.
That's right. We'd all be stoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Stoned before we got out of the crib. But He says, I am the Lord and I change not. And then I'm just going to read it. It says, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone out from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. That's the big guy. That's God with all that He is. All right? You don't mess with the Lord of hosts. Don't depend on mercy from the Lord of hosts. Because when He's speaking, it's thus saith the Lord. I really believe that. I know it to be the truth. And He's speaking. And we think, well, we'll pull one over on Him. You know, we'll repent just before we die. Well, hallelujah. It says, will a man rob God? And He didn't even wait for him to answer. He just says, yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed thee? In your tithes, in your offering. Okay, now think about this. If tithe means 10, and it does, okay, then offering has to mean beyond the 10. I have people say, oh, well, we don't tithe, we just offer. Well, it ain't even an offering or a tithe if it's only 1% or 2%, all right? Seriously, folks, And I'll tell you what, you can say, I've seen people lose jobs, houses, and everything else because they're going to, when they get out of debt, they're going to start doing it. It doesn't work. I don't care if you can't pay your bills. You start doing your tithe, and you do it with a happy, hilarious heart, like it talks about in Corinthians. You know what? Things will start happening. I can remember being on the mission field back in 81, 80. I remember driving across the city in a car with the motor not running. We didn't have gas in the tank. Isn't that amazing? See, God will make a way. You know, we didn't have food one night, and I had two kids with me, teenagers, they eat, you know. And I remembered Mueller, you know. And so that's what we did. We thanked God for the food. And the kids remembered because we'd read that story together. And someone knocked on the door, and they says, "Thank God you're home." I said, "Why?" They says, "We made all this food. We had companies going to come, and they're not going to come. Would you guys come over and help us eat it?" Coincidence, right? And guess what they had? Steak. Nice T-bone steak. And au gratin potatoes. And I loved them au gratins, you know. But, and it shows. But even from the days of your father, see. Verse 10, it says, "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse." And I've heard pastors sit up in front of the church and say, "This church is a storehouse." And they got people all over that they're not helping within the church. Liar! I have people that say, "Brother Carl, would it be a sin for us to give tithe to your ministry?" I said, "We're a storehouse. If the Lord leads you to do it, do it. But you know, you're coming to this church for your sake, tithe to this church. If you don't go to this church, for your sake, give offerings to this church." I'm not trying to give them a plug. I'm just saying, because this is a true thing. Who in this room has this ministry and this man and his wife has not ministered to in this room? Is there anybody here that have not been ministered to from them? So no hands went up because you've all been ministered to. Even those of us only been here a couple of days. See, that's the storehouse.
God told us before we came here on an airplane to Sweden, somebody walked up the aisle and prophesied that we were going to be in charge of a garrison. Garrison is a storehouse. We
that's
didn't
right.
know what it was.
Yeah.
We was on an airplane.
Yeah.
All over the Atlantic.
Yeah, God's good at getting on them airplanes with us. That's a good thing. I got to tell you an airplane story because I fly a lot. We got hit by lightning out over the Atlantic coming back. I mean, we got hit hard. And, you know, we can get hurt. And this really happened. Now, sitting the vice president of Christian Faith International Ministries, which is the ministry that the Lord has given us, and I, so the president and the vice president of the ministry are sitting together around a plane that gets hit with lightning. Satan didn't like us boys. But we already knew that. But see, Ed, before he retired, was a Boeing engineer, a design engineer. And he knows about aircraft. And he explained to me why the airplane didn't go down when the lightning hit, because there's things that... But, you know, when it knocks the tail rudder out, plane's not supposed to, can't steer it or nothing. We landed in Minneapolis, and when we, just before they go to take off, they always do the last visual. I don't know if it's the pilot or the co-pilot or maybe the first officer, but they walk around the plane, they do a visual. You see truck drivers with a hammer hitting their tires, you know, their duals. Well, it's kind of like that. But anyway, they discovered that there was a big chunk of the tail rudder wasn't there. And Ed says, "You know, Carl, we weren't supposed to land with that." Well, but see, God will be with his people when you're obeying. The impossible becomes the possible. All right? And it's the same thing when you tithe and you give tithes and offerings. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's will prevail in your life. But he says in here, he says, "Give it to the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. Prove me." You don't believe it? Do it. People say you can't try God. Sure you can. He's saying that right here. Try me. Try it out, folks. "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive. That's a promise of God. All right? And I listen to this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The devourer is a strong man. And if you translate it from the Aramaic, it's eater. Devourer, eater. Remember the Pac-Man? God will rebuke that eats into your checkbook. Eats into your car wears out. Your tires don't wear well. Eats into your job so you get laid off. He will rebuke, if you obey this, he will rebuke that eater so he can't eat up. Isn't that amazing? It's a beautiful thing. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. This is the Lord of hosts, the big guy talking. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before their time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. What a deal. You know, and it goes on. Read it. This is another reading assignment. Read it. You know? And if you don't believe me, it's okay. It's okay. It's up to you. But it works. I know it works. You know what? We in our ministry tithe. Even though everything goes into ministry, goes out for ministry, but we still tithe. And you know, it's a privilege to give tithes and offerings. You know why? You know, people invest in the stock market and it goes up and down and up and down. You know why they buy and sell all the time and they promoted doing that? So the brokers can get rich. Regardless of what the market does, they become filthy rich. Just filthy. All right? But see, I'm talking real investment, folks. I'm talking when you invest in the work of God, the reward is eternal. It's now and forever and forever and forever, right? It's not a mistake to do it. So we need to deal because the devil will do everything he can to stop this. And God wants us blessed. And I know it's time I better quit for the night. We'll get back into this. But just to set the record straight, in Deuteronomy 28, I don't want to leave this on anybody, because somebody could say what I taught there is negative. I can't see how it could be, but if you've got a devil in there telling you that. I learned to count again here. There we go. Listen, this is so simple, folks. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Let this minister to you. Just let it minister. This is the truth of God's Word. It's still the truth today. It is the truth today. And it says, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. That's a little effort, okay? Unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe. Oh, but he hasn't said that to me. He just did in his Word.
Right.
Most revelation we get from the Word.
It is written.
Amen. It is written. That's how Jesus backed the devil off. It's, you know, any revelation that you get, someone comes up and prophesies, if it don't fit in here, it's false. Brush it aside. But he says it shall come to pass. You know, shall means it's going to happen. You can't change it. If you do your part, you can't. It's going to happen. It shall come to pass that you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Our country, the United States of America, was there just a few short years ago. And listen, you know, people go from one meeting to another. You know, the big guys come in, fly in low, check out the city and land the airport, and they come in. Everybody rushes to get a blessing. And hallelujah, you know, go ahead. But this is what God's promise is. It says, all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake you, if you hearken on the voice of the Lord thy God. You don't have to worry about what's going on. You don't have to say, well, Lord, I need to know what's... No. If you do that, the blessings will overtake you. Like a hound dog. Only it's a good one. All right? It's going to find you. Bloodhound. He's going to find you. You're going to get the blessing, folks. And then if you go down to about, where is it? 14, 13, and the Lord shall make thee, okay, the head and not tail like that one too, Thou shalt not go aside, 14, from any of these words which I command this day, the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, same words, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But I don't understand it. It don't make sense to me. It's the Old Testament. Then guess what's going to happen? All these commandments and statutes, you refuse to do them, that all these curses will come upon thee and overtake thee, and curse shall be in the city and the field. You can't get away from it, okay? That's, we have to, if we want to have the blessings of our Father, we have to obey. It's not an option, folks. All right? And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your word. I thank you that all the word we've heard today just doesn't get flittered and stolen away. Father, that it sinks into our hearts, into our minds, into our being, into our soul, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to just bind it to our hearts and hold on and let us have the audacity to prove you, Father. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, give everybody their rest tonight, regardless of how long they sleep. Remove the excuse, I'm tired. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing that we get up rested. Will you receive that, brothers and sisters? We wake up rested and refreshed in the name of Jesus Christ, that we rest in your grace and your love. And we praise you, Father. We love you. And I thank you for these people. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your holy angels looking after these people tonight, Father, that the word that they've heard not be stolen away in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that what has started, it's going to flow for the rest of our lives or until the Lord Jesus returns. But Father, either way, we want to see the fullness of your word. We want to see it, Father. We want to change. We want to be like you, Lord Jesus. Help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That means let's eat. No, it means let's sleep.
Until 6 o'clock.
Until 6 o'clock. And by the way, those of you that didn't make it here this morning, really, it's awesome.
As it always is.
I'm sure it is.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of kings is He, the Lord of lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.